Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
All right, everyone, welcome to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954.
And my name is Jacob, aka Dino en Mágico.
And we've got a new host with us joining the BTW team this week and going forward. I'll let him introduce himself because he's probably going to do it better than I am.
Yes, my name is John, aka Ash887.
All right, John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to be here. I'm happy to join you guys in this third episode, and excited to talk about all the new topics this week and all the different content that's going around the PvP scene.
Awesome. Yep, we've got a lot of stuff just from last episode to this one. It's been like one thing after another, it feels like. So just kind of a brief, you know, go through what we're going to talk about today's episode. You know, we'll go through our basics, Sylph, the in-game news, and then, you know, GBL. We're also going to talk about esports and Niantic's new acquisition. And then our main topic for today's show is going to be team compositions, especially now that we are going into our first week of the second half of season six, right?
Second half.
So we're back into Open Great League only. So, and once we get into GBL, you'll see there's a lot of changes going on. So let's get right into it with the Sylph update. So we're still in our January drought. Nothing, no meta, no tournaments. Looks like they did send out invites on January 5th. I did not get one. Did any of you guys get one?
No. I don't think, John, you don't play, right?
No, not really. I've done a few in the past, but nothing too consistent to really be a part of that.
I feel like, what's it called? Like, I noticed that mostly, like, streamers, you know, like, players that are known got it. Like, I don't know if, like, anybody, like, I don't think anyone local that I know of got it, so.
Speedy's Chief got his, and I know he just started streaming, but of course the champ.
Of course, you know, the champ is gonna get it.
They're gonna get an invite there.
If he didn't get it, that'd be a slap to the face.
Yeah. I think another Florida, trainer up in Tampa, Lyndon Ryu, he got an invite. Mm. So I know at least two people that are going to be representing our state in this thing. If anybody else got them, you know, and you're listening, hit us up on Twitter, let us know so that we can, you know, cheer you guys on and know what's going on with the tournament, because from what I've seen from people's tweets of their invites, they haven't announced a format, but what it says is that there's a new way of battling that they're going to be kind of testing with this tournament. So essentially these guys, you know, everyone or these people that were invited are going to be, I guess, guinea pigs in a way, you know, to test out whatever it is that they are coming up with. And that starts, the preliminaries start on the 17th of this month, and then that runs through the 19th. And then your semifinals are the 20th through the 22nd, and then the finals are 23rd through 24th. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. Hopefully they'll do something similar to what they did with the Continentals, where maybe they stream some of the battles.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would find it hard to believe that they're not going to stream at least Speedius's battles.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that they would stream it themselves? Like, is that a thing?
They did it. That's how they did it with Continentals, right?
Yeah.
Sylph streamed it.
Yeah, they streamed it. But I know that they streamed it after they actually finished the battles.
Yeah, it was like an hour or two after they finished the battle or something like that. Like, I doubt they'll do a live stream because of the whole, like, he could be, you know, there could be spies or something watching. So, other than that, they did just tweet out today they're doing a new team competition.
Yeah, the 7v7.
Yeah, they didn't really give a lot of details, just that it was going to be, you know, like Dino said, 7v7 team composite competition, probably very similar to what Go Battle Stadium does.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Sylph website, which is a little cleaner, I think, than Go Battle. And that's pretty much it for Sylph news. Like I said, nothing really going on. I'm not going to get into the trainer card updates and stuff like that, because, I mean, they're just digital badges. If you really care that much what's going on with that, you know, you can go to sylph.gg and check it out. But there's nothing too crazy about that. Now, this is normally the part where I would go and start talking about the in-game news, but our boy John here is much more in tune with the Pokemon Go in-game experience and what's going on than I am. This man is on his grind every day, all day. He's sending me raid invites, you know,
stuff out of nowhere. What about those Skarmory picture he sent us today of, like,
oh my gosh,
20 shiny Skarmories?
I got, like, shiny 3.
Yeah, I got some good luck with a certain Pokemon, you know, in the wild. And I think Skarmory is, especially with the high, you know, spawn rate sometimes, when you do see them, it might be shiny due to the fact that it does have that high rate. And I guess I got lucky within the last 6 months, you know.
Yeah, but that shiny collection you got, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's much more in tune than I am with this, with the in-game stuff. He follows it, you know, a lot better. So we're gonna slide on over to John, and he's gonna or Ash, as we prefer to call him, and he's gonna go over the in-game news.
Yeah, one of the biggest things this week that I did see is that is the potential to be a part of be an in-game trainer in the game. Niantic's actually offering this contest to all trainers, which I think is definitely an interesting you know, prize to get, because it's something that'll put you a part of the game, you know, a part of the game history, and you would be the only person, pretty much the only trainer, to be a part of that. I'm sure it's going to be tough to be able to win it, and I'm sure you're going to have to come up with a lot of creativity. I'm sure a lot of the community is already trying to come up with their best ways, or their most spiciest composition of teams, or, you know, the most interesting outfit.
Did any of you guys, like, consider already, like, joining it, or did you guys already come up with ideas for it?
I need to. I'm going to before the contest ends. I'm definitely going to figure out some ideas to do it. Because it would be something interesting to me to see yourself in the game. You know, I've played the prior games, especially like Let's Go Pikachu. And sometimes you see the trainers and it makes you reminisce about the importance or, you know, how the vital part they play in the game in past games, you know, throughout the entire history of Pokemon. So that's something that I think I've realized playing that game, you know, just seeing all the trainers in, you know, in the wild. And
yeah,
I think it's an interesting.
I liked it. But I liked it. It's a good concept.
It was, yeah, it was cool. I know you have to build like a team of three based off of Kanto Pokemon. And I think they kind of want it to go with like a theme of what your avatar is dressed as. I'm not buying clothes in Pokemon Go. I barely buy clothes in real life. I think, yeah.
Did you guys buy the clothes? Like, I know Astra didn't, but Ash, did you buy the clothes?
For me, I'm a person that I always, you know, I'll buy the stuff in the shop. you know, I'm never too shy with that stuff.
You gotta show up.
You know, I've had a lot of clothes since the beginning of the game. And, you know, anything that has to do with just having fun in it, you know, I usually partake in it.
Have you seen his avatar? It is.
No, I haven't actually.
He's always straight changing, matching right? From head to toe. Head to toe.
Like, I
don't know how he can match everything from the top to the bottom. But he does, and he, you know, we're going to post a picture of his avatar and send it out and let you guys blast Niantic so we can get John as one of those in-game characters, because he'd be a fun one.
Yep.
yeah, for sure. You know, for me, I love a lot of aspects of the game. I know Dino is the PvP man. I've learned a lot from him. I'm still learning from him. But for me, I've always been a person that I like to, you know, grind for shinies, or I'm a raider, you know, especially on this XL candy grind right now. The Master League is tough. So, you know, there's always, those are my specialties in the game.
Those XL candies are killing me right now, trying to get this Diggersby up.
But didn't they say, or I'm not sure if they said something about getting XL candies from the gyms now?
Yeah, that was another piece of content that I saw this week. There's some Reddit posts going around where it's actually, you're able to give candy to defending gyms, and you're able to acquire. I'm sure it's going to take a decent amount of investing of the candy to just get one. You know, a lot of times you can get lucky just burying the gym normally and to get one of the Pokemon candy that you are burying. But it might take, you know, 15 berries and you might not get one. So it's always random, but I'm sure it's going to be tough with XL. But it gives you an option, though, to be able to obtain them quicker, which right now is pretty tough.
Yeah, they need to do something to fix that quick, because this, you know, every 5 catches of the same Pokemon, you'll get an XL candy. Like, I've kind of been noticing, like, I'll catch maybe, like, 3 or 4 Diggersby or Bunnelby and get maybe, like, 1 or 2 XL candy out of that if I'm lucky.
Did you guys know that the higher CP the Pokemon is, the higher chance you have of getting the XL candy?
No, I never knew.
No, I did not know that.
High CP Pokemon. I tested it out. I think it caught, like, a 800 CP plus EV, and it got me an XL candy, and I caught something else high CP, and then they also gave me an XL candy. I may have gotten lucky, I don't know, but I don't want to spread like false like rumors or anything, but I mean, so far it seems to work when it's high CP. I think someone also like confirmed it, but you know, I think I have to like research more on it.
Yeah.
One thing I found interesting is I was watching Pogo King, one of his videos earlier, and he mentioned something about when we go to level 100, and my heart kind of stopped when I heard that, because going to level 50 is unreal right now.
I'm still level 40.
So I heard him say level 100. I said, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Years of grinding here, but dude, I guess so.
That's crazy. You know.
I guess they want to make it as close to the main series game, but no. I'm still trying to hit my 30 raids.
And me too.
I still got like 4 million experience to get. Like,
I think I'm good on the XP.
40 like not too long ago. I was like, yes, I did it. And a month later, they're like, we're going up higher. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I can max out my Pokemon at 40. I'm good.
It's tough.
Which is great, though, like that they gave us the option to get to level 50 as a level 40, like for your Pokemon. Because imagine if you had to actually be level 50 to get your Pokemon to level 50, then I'd be really annoyed.
Yeah, well, I mean, it used to be you had to get to, what is it, 38?
Yeah, 38 to max out the Pokemon.
To max out your Pokemon.
So that's what I was expecting, and so that's the bright side of it. That's why I'm not rushing to get to any higher level. I know John is, you know, he's more into that side of the game. I'm more like into, I don't want to stress. So I'm just like chilling.
You're at, what, 41?
Me? I'm still trying to get my 30 raids too.
John, where are you at?
Right now I'm on 44. I'm trying to get to the Rocket Leaders, which is tough. They can be, it's a lot. You know, I have the 100 grunts done, but, you know, I refuse to buy the radar. So, you know, that takes time
right.
In itself.
No, for sure.
You know, to track them down. But and in the purifications with the dust as well, it's tough because to be able to find 1K monsters, you know, it's not so easy right now.
Yeah,
so,
people are telling me to start saving those for whenever I reach to that point. But I'm just like, I get so lazy to do like rocket grunts. It just like, I'm like, I'd rather just do my GBL.
Yeah, I do. Like, I'll save the Weedles. Like, if I get any of those, you know, Shadow Weedles, because I think they're only like,
they're 1,000.
Yeah,
those are
1,000. So, yeah, those are going to be the cheap ones to do. So what else is going on?
They also, they actually changed the new clothes that were released earlier in the week. It was exclusive to only Pokemon stops that had the Gucci location, but they've actually went back and changed it and made it an in-game code, where every trainer can receive, you know, the Gucci clothing. Which I thought was nice because, you know, it's definitely a flex in the game, and to be able to provide it to all trainers instead of, you know, having to go to certain locations throughout the world or, you know, I know we had one here in Miami, which we could reach, you know, it's not too far, but I'm sure a lot of other people, you know, Gucci's not in all states or, you know, the places they did have it. Right. So it would have been tough for most of the, you know, community to get it. So I thought that was nice, you know, for them to switch it up. You know, it's kind of like the first time they made a change like that and took one of their special events and I guess listened to the community and made a change about it, which is, I thought it was nice.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things like on Twitter, people kind of making fun of, you know, the fact that Pokemon Go, I think there was like one, it was like a meme that had one circle that said Pokemon Go players, and then on the complete other side of the page was another circle that said people who buy Gucci. And I'm like, you guys have clearly never been to South Florida. Because most of the people down here that play Pokemon were probably like, oh man, now I can get my Gucci shirt or I can get a Gucci hat. Oh my
God. I swear, like, I think, like, I don't want to say half my friend list, but like a good amount of friends were definitely using it like the first time, like the first day it came out.
I think it's going to be popular in some places, like down here in South Florida, you know, maybe more metropolitan areas like up in New York and stuff like that. And then maybe not as popular when you get into more rural communities where, you know, that way of life isn't as prevalent as it is here. Like, it's like shoved down our throats down here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so. And then there was that other, it was North Face. That's where those camo hats and stuff.
I know. I wasn't on top of that stuff.
I saw it. I read it. I heard about it. And I was just like, okay, if it's there, I'll look at it. If I don't have to spend coins on it, maybe I'll get it.
I know, right? But... whenever I see it, I'm like, oh, I got a free item. Let me try it on.
We've got Community Day coming up, so I'm going to be buying, using my coins for the box that I get.
Oh, yeah. We always get an Elite TM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we also get that research if you got the Kanto ticket.
That's right.
Sweet.
What else we got going on?
We also have, during the second half of the Go League, this season, you know, we have a new monster being released, Jellicent, which is a water, ghost Pokemon.
I don't think we've had one before. I don't think there's any other Pokemon with ghosts and water, right? Not that I can think of. That's an interesting typing for sure.
Yeah. If there is and we don't know, and you're listening, tweet us and let us know what other ghost water type Pokemon there is. But I think this is the only one that's that typing.
Yeah. So is it, I think, have you guys gotten it yet?
I haven't. But I have a few people that have.
In one of my chats, I think Astro is on it too. Deerfield one, I think it's called. One of the guys, Peter, he got on his first encounter, he got 100%.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, I was jealous. Even though, like, you know, it's not like... It has some play in Ultra League, which I guess we can go more in depth like for it. But, yeah, so he got 100%. And then I played on my alt for one set after the update, and the first encounter what's the name of the first base form?
Frillish.
Yeah, Frillish, yeah. So, I guess it's, like, guaranteed the first, set that you get a Pokemon encounter. So, hopefully you guys, can get one. And, you know, it's, I think, what were the stats for it again?
I know it maxes out at 2644 CP, which is it gives it a play in great and ultra, which is definitely good. It has access to the quick moves of it has Bubble and Hex, so which it should allow the Pokemon to charge fairly quick. So it should definitely be a good choice in the upcoming meta for sure.
Did they release the the attack and defense and stamina stats yet on that?
Yeah, what I see is it's the attack is 159, defense is going to be 178, and the stamina is 225. So, you know, it has some bulk to it.
Isn't that similar to Azu?
That's funny you mentioned that, and we'll get into that. Because I did some research when I, you know, saw the stats on this and pulled up some other Pokemon to kind of match up against it and see where it stands. What about its charge moves? What is it running as far as charge moves?
For Frillish's charge moves, he has... Shadow Ball is a really interesting one. For me, Shadow Ball is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that thing hits like a truck. Yeah. Even if it's like resistant to it, it still deals a good amount of damage.
But I think Jellicent also had two more moves, someone was telling me, for the charge moves. I think it was like Bubble Beam and something else.
I think it was...
For that...
Was it Ice... Ice Beam?
Yeah, I think it was Ice Beam. So it's like very similar to Azumarill. And it actually, you would be able to have it in Ultra League, which you can't have, you know, Azu in there in Ultra League. So you have a super tanky Pokemon.
We could have an Ultra League Azu on our hand.
Is that going to be annoying?
We'll see.
I see it.
Yeah. I mean, so with it being ghost and water, I know it's going to be definitely weak to electric and grass. What else is going to...
The other two, I think, yeah, dark and ghost.
Yeah, it'll be Gengar would be good against it. A Raikou, a Zapdos, anything with ghost type moves or electric moves would definitely hurt it. You know, maybe the Chandelure also would be a good pick with the fire and.
If you're running Hex, yeah. So let's see. So the weaknesses for jealous, what is it? Jellicent is dark, electric, ghost, and grass. Those are going to be nothing, you know, four times weak to anything. It's just going to be your regular weakness level there. Your resists, fighting, normal, bug, fire, ice, poison, steel, and water. And then it's neutral to other typings.
I guess, the only downfall for it, it has, I think, more weaknesses than Azu, but overall, it's still, like, good to have a tanky Pokemon like that in Ultra League. It's kind of like, I don't know, Cresselia in Ultra League? Maybe? I don't really recall the stats for Cresselia, but...
So, I pulled up some stats from... two Pokemon from each type, from the water types and from the ghost types, that are pretty much PvP staples, either in Ultra League or Great League. So I'm going to go through each one and kind of compare just your base statistics here. So we're going to start off with Swampert. So Swampert maxes out at 2974. And I got all these stats from Sylph. So you can double check me, sylph.gg.
That's like the max at...
Max at level 40. I didn't go into level 50s. Because this one, because this just came out. So, I mean, unless you're going to dump thousands of rare candy into this thing, you're not going to get, you know, especially since it's... especially since it's a GBL reward. You know, I don't know how many you're going to be getting. They're all maxed out at 40. So max CP on Swampert is 2974 at level 40. His attack is 208, defense 175, stamina 225. So compared to, Jellicent, he's got a little bit more in his attack. Defense is about equal. It's a 3-point difference. Same with his stamina. So, you know, his HP is going to be about the same, around the same level. Now, like we mentioned, Azumarill, max CP 1588. His attack stat is 112, defense 152, stamina 225. So compared to Jellicent, which is 159 attack, 178 defense, and 225 in the stamina, plus the option to run Hex over, once we get into the new move sets, changes with Bubble. I don't know. I kind of feel like we've got a new Azu, because those stats are pretty much lined up with Azu. I mean, yeah, the fairy typing on Azu gives it, what, 2 less, which is your dark and ghost. So it's just electric and grass.
Yeah.
I don't really see that being a huge, huge downfall for this Pokemon. And then I'll just bang through the other ones. Gengar, max CP, 2878, attack, 261, defense 149, stamina 155. So, you know, Gengar's your glass cannon. It's gonna have a high attack. It's gonna break pretty easily. And then, Sableye, max CP on Sableye, 1476, attack 141, defense 136, stamina 137. So, I mean, when you look at the stats compared to, you know, these four staples in PvP, whether it's, you know, a glass cannon like Gengar or your tanks like Azu and Sableye, it's gonna have play. Like, this thing is
okay. The question is, I think, like, what are your preference between either, like, putting aside the small little debuff it got for Bubble, would you guys run Bubble or Hex?
So for me, putting aside what just came out with Bubble, I'm gonna still go with Hex, because I would probably run it with, even though the preferred move is Bubble and then Shadow Ball is your charge, I'd probably run Hex, Bubble Beam, and then Shadow Ball, because that Hex is gonna build up that Bubble Beam super quick, and you'll be able to get that debuff and then hit him with the Shadow Ball. And like we said, like with Shadow Ball, that's going to hit even neutral damage. It's still going to be a good chunk of damage done to the Pokemon. And then on top of that, you're debuffing them with the Bubble Beam. I mean, I like debuffs. I like it when, you know, like Icy Wind and stuff like that, where, you know, it's gonna frustrate you, yeah, because especially with Hex, how fast that it generates energy compared to Bubble, you know, you're gonna be shooting those things off.
I think it's 4 bubbles to a Bubble Beam whenever you use Mantine, for example. So I assume if you use Hex, it's gonna be maybe 3 Hex to a Bubble Beam. So just imagine just like hitting that boom 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 boom, like I would just like, quit,
like at that exactly moment. It's just, it would drive you insane.
Yeah. And then what about you, Ash? What would you prefer, Bubble or Hex for the fast move?
For me, if I was gonna do Ultra, I tend to do a lot of open Ultra since I have the monsters. I would definitely lean more towards Hex, especially with their quicker charge. You know, I'm able to get to the charge a little bit quicker, but also, you know, there's a lot of dragons, and open ultra Giratina, or you see, some Dragonite there a lot in Premier. You know, I would definitely be able to spam a little bit faster with the charge moves. And also with the Ice Beam, it provides a lot of coverage and then the Shadow Ball. So to me, it's a really interesting pick going forward. I think it's going to be a cornerstone of what we're going to see in the future, and I think it'll have a place in the meta for a long time. These moves are definitely something that we haven't seen in a bit, so I'm excited. You know, I can't wait to get one to see how it's going to go. That's definitely, I would lean towards Hex on for me.
Yeah, that's a good point with the difference between Ultra and then Great League. Because, yeah, you do have, you know, your Giratinas, you know, some of those Pokemon that are going to be, you know, a little more weak to the ghost type versus, you know, a water type. Jacob, what are you thinking, coach?
honestly, because, like, just like you said, like, I think in Great League, I would run just, you know, not even like going too much into details of like what it would go against and stuff like that, but I think I may consider running Bubble in Great League and Hex in Ultra League. And then obviously I think, as John said, I mean, Ash, my bad, as he said, that if you are playing open Ultra League, you would see a lot of Giratinas, so you would want to go maybe Ice Beam, Shadow Ball, maybe, yeah, as an example, in Hex, because then, you know, I feel like with the, you play too much with the debuffs in Ultra League and they like just, yeah, like, bites you back. But for Great League, I think I would probably do Bubble Beam and Shadow Ball, just because, you know, look how great it does. Let's just say you go up against a Stunfisk, or if you go against a Bastiodon, you're gonna be throwing the hex at it, like he's gonna be laughing at you. He might actually come out of the battle winning because you don't have both. That's just my thought right now. Like I didn't really research how the battle would go, but that's just like my assumption of it. So I think I would do Bubble and Bubble Beam and Shadow Ball for Great League, and then Ultra Leo would do Hex, Ice Beam, Shadow Ball.
Yeah, those are all really good points. You know, it's going to be, you know, every trainer has their preference, you know, how they want to run things. When we get into our GBL news and updates, we'll go back and ask Dino if his decision to run Bubble has changed or not. But before we do that, some pretty exciting news happened on the 5th. So it looks like Niantic announced on Twitter the acquisition of a company called Mayhem. This is big because Mayhem is essentially, from my research on it, is a more interactive, well-polished version of what Sylph's doing. They're just doing it on a bigger scale with bigger games like, you know, your Blizzard games, Overwatch, stuff like that. They've figured out how to integrate the game that you're playing and the tournaments that you're running with Mayhem so that your stats show in the game as well as on your Mayhem board or whatever they call it. So that to me, I think is really cool. What I read. So Mayhem was founded in 2017. According to their website, which is Mayhem, Mayhem.gg. It says Mayhem was founded in 2017 with the goal to bring gamers together through live interactive experiences. To me right there, that acquisition is just screaming esports. That's...
Oh, for sure.
I don't really know what else they would do with that acquisition unless they are really gearing up to start beta testing, at least beta testing, you know, an esport.
Yeah, that's the issue though, because I know a lot of people keep posting on Twitter at least that they just post like video clips of saying like, is this game really ready for esports? Like, and they show like the lag and stuff like that. Unfortunately, it's true. I got some like lag experience myself. You know, past 2 days where it was really odd lag too. Like I never seen it. And, yeah, I mean, like personally, I feel like they have a lot of work to do for it to get to the esports level.
Yeah. So John, let me ask you, since you're still, you know, you're relatively new to PvP, not new to the game. You've, you know the aspects of the game. When you do your GBL sets, do you sit there and go, man, this is ready for esports? Or do you think this is, you know, how far do you think we are from that?
To be honest, when I sit and play the game, a lot of times, you know, as far as for it to be balanced and, you know, completely fair, I feel like, you know, they're going to make those changes in a nearby future. I think a lot of the investment that they need to put into it, I think they might be trying to get to that point now, especially what you're saying about this acquisition. I believe, you know, in the upcoming future, we will finally get where we all feel, you know, the community and all the trainers feel that it's in a good place. But, you know, I'm not sure what exactly. It might be just, you know, the pandemic and all the different things happening, hindering, you know, the speed of it. But I think once, you know, the world and everything gets kind of back into normal, I think, you know, we'll see that update where we're all like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's finally here. I believe in Niantic. I think they want to do best by the game, and they're listening as much as possible, which is a good thing. And it'll get there. I think maybe by the end of the year, we'll see some major updates to the server where we feel that, you know, there's not a loss of a tap, or, you know, that stop for the few seconds and then, you know, you miss a charge move, or it's a CMP tied due to the fact you missed out. So I think by the end of the year, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, every game is going to have some type of flaw. Any type of online gaming, whether you're playing Fortnite or World of Warcraft or anything like that, you're going to have issues. I mean, you know, I've got kids. They play Fortnite. Like, I see them sitting in lobbies waiting for a match to start for like 5-10 minutes. That's not something that the creators can change with, you know, drop of a hat. Do they fix it? Yeah, they do things to try and speed those things up. There's glitches. You know, you're always going to run into something where, you know, your internet connection isn't as fast as your opponent's internet connection, or you could be in a place that doesn't have great reception. So all those things kind of play into it. I think when it does eventually get to the point where it rolls into an esports, clearly everyone, as far as, you know, connectivity and stuff like that, they're going to make sure it's all flawless or as close to it. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw them use kind of like a standard issued device like during the battle, especially since, you know, if it's going esports, you think once the pandemic kind of clears up a little, if it does, people are going to be back face to face. Maybe, you know, some type of phone that's hardwired to each other, like a tethering type thing, like how you used to do with like the Game Boys, where you could like plug them into each other.
Right.
You know, something like that to where you're not going to run into those things. But, you know, remote, I mean, if your internet goes out and you're running off your cell and you're in your house and you got bad cell service, your game's going to lag. Like, it's inevitable. Like, that's, so I think they've looked at all that stuff, and with this acquisition and some of the other things that they've been doing, I think they're going for it. They're not there yet, but I don't think they're too far away.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. They just got some stuff to do. I'm sure maybe they'll be able to fix that later down the road, like you guys said. Obviously, we just don't know when.
Yeah. So, kind of to, you know, go back to when we were talking about, it all kind of ties in, you know, PvP, the esports, and GBL. We have some very interesting updates when it comes to GBL in the second part of the season. Dino's going to go over those for us right now.
Yep. So the second part of the season 6 started today, actually. Depending what time it starts for you guys, but for us it starts at 4 p.m. Eastern, usually whenever the cups change, new season start. And they're basically recycling, you know, from the first part of the season to, you know, the second part, essentially. Where the Great League is going to be 2 weeks, and then Ultra League is going to be, I believe, 2 weeks as well. I believe it's going to be 2 weeks as well. And then, you know, how, you know, Master League is going to be the same. But I believe, I think with the Master League, the first part of the season, it had a special, the Holiday Cup, right? So I think for this one, it has another special cup to be alongside of Master League. It's still to be announced according to what they put in their announcement. And then, obviously, like how we had it right before today, where all three leagues were at the same time, is gonna be from February 15 to February 22nd, which is a week. And then we also have the Kanto Cup that's going to be running from February 22nd to March 1st. So it's pretty exciting. You know, I think I'm going to have a lot of fun with the Kanto Cup.
Yeah.
And then in terms like of new moves, and not necessarily new moves, but new updates that came out today.
I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited.
A lot of people were expecting a huge change because it came out with huge debuffs on Razor Leaf and Bubble, which is, you know, Grass Hole team. And then you got Azu that has Bubble, and then you have also Sky Attack that was going to get the debuff. So just to name a few of the things that I said, the buffs were going to be for Ember, Karate Chop, and I believe Crab Hammer. And then the debuffs were for Razor Leaf, Sky Attack, Rock Slide, and for some reason, I don't know why they did this, they debuffed Shadow Bone. You literally just made a Marowak day to get the Shadow Bone. Like, that's the signature move.
Yeah.
And you debuff it. I have no idea why. But the main thing to get from this is that there really wasn't like a huge change to what the buffs and debuffs were. So, for example, Ember went from the attack damage from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So, 1 attack damage. Same thing with Karate Chop. It went from 7 to 8. And Crab Hammer had the hugest change. It went from 75 to 85 damage. And that one kind of intrigued me because Hydro Cannon has 90 damage with 50 energy. So you have Kingler that has Mudshot, and he has Crab Hammer. So it's essentially kind of like a, you know, crappier Swampert. The only thing is that the second move is, you know, not that great. So that one was interesting. It had a good buff out of everything. And then the debuffs on Bubble went from 8 damage to 7. So it wasn't much either. Like, everything essentially had like one lower or one higher. Same thing with Razor Leaf.
Was there a change in energy for Bubble and Razor Leaf?
No, there was no change on energy on anything. It's okay. Just damage. So the energy stayed the same. The energy stayed the same, and then the damage was the only difference. Razor Leaf, same thing, 11 damage to 10. And then Sky Attack actually had 5. It went from 80 damage to 75. And then Rock Slide went from 80 damage to 75. Shadow Bone went from 80 damage to 75. So there wasn't really much of a change. I played a few sets of my alt. I actually didn't see that many Skarmory leads. The changes wasn't that great. I don't think many people were running any Pokemon. I thought if the change was going to be huge, I would invest into something that had like Ember, Karate Chop. But the difference in the buff isn't that much for me to be like, you know, let me try this spicy pick. So, and then some Pokemon got new moves to their move pool. So, for example, Ninetales, the Kanto Ninetales, has Weather Ball now for, you know, Fire Weather Ball. And then you have the other Ninetales?
The Alolan.
Alolan. Yeah, the Alolan Ninetales has Weather Ball but Ice. And we know that, you know, I think we've all used the Bombasnow. I think he has Weather Ball, right?
Mm-hmm. So
it charges quick. And then huge
Cheerum. Sorry, what is it? Cheerum?
Yeah.
So it's Sunny, he has the Sunny form? Yeah. That thing charges super quick. That thing charges
quick, yeah. Yeah, so then Politoed got Weather Ball, and he actually moved up the highest in PV Poke ranking. He was in the top 10 now.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you guys take a chance to go look in the PV Poke rankings, you're going to see that I think 7 or 6 are water Pokemon. So yeah, that changed it up. And then we had that slight, I don't know if you guys saw the panic of everything going on with Primate, where he got Weather Ball water when the change happened at 4 p.m. when he's supposed to get Ice Punch.
Did they fix it?
Yeah, they fixed it. He got banned from GBL until they fix it.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
That was the one, honestly, it was the one I was the most excited about. I love using Primeape. So that ice punch, you know, over, what is it, using close combat?
Yeah, if you use Ice Punch, like, for example, if you use, I don't know, whatever your preference is, Night Slash, Ice Punch, or whatever you want to do. Then we have Claydol that got Ice Beam and Shadow Ball. And then we have, is it Porygon 2, Tri-Attack.
So they opened up his community move.
Yeah, for the second evolution of... Yeah, so... No, actually, it would be Porygon.
Oh, okay, because that was for
the second Porygon evolution, Z. Yeah, Porygon Z. So now it has Tri-Attack, the second evolution, and then Excadrill, I think we were talking about how... I think we talked about it last episode.
Mm-hmm.
He has Mudshot now. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting in Master League. And yeah, I mean, like, out of those, I think the ones that intrigued me the most was Politoed being top 10 now.
That Claydol update, though, that's
yeah, that's interesting. I still feel like with the fast move that it has, it doesn't intrigue me that much. But overall, I think it was a decent update.
I really like the addition of the Weather Ball to Alolan Ninetales. Because it runs Charm, I think. Charm or Confusion? Charm. Yeah, it runs Charm as a fast move. So yeah. It builds energy really slow. So having a quick quick charge attack, like...
Yeah, it also has Powder Snow, though. Which is, Powder Snow is, it charges quick. But it depends how you want to run it, you know, with your team.
It's a big time shakeup. It's really interesting, though. Just looking at the list, I can't believe it right now, to be honest, how much of a change.
Yeah, I want to see. I mean, I don't know if I would have the balls to, like, get a Pokemon that has Ember or Karate Chop. I don't know if you guys would ever consider running something with that fast move.
Not when you still have Counter.
Exactly.
If Counter is still an option. I mean, I know, what was it, does Machamp have Karate Chop, or was it Primate?
I think it was Machamp has it.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
so Machamp and Primate have it, but.
Yeah. But why would you switch that over? I mean, I don't see a reason to switch either one of those from Counter.
Right.
Until they nuke Counter, which I don't think they'll do, because...
You never know anymore.
I mean, with that, I mean, it would really hurt, like, fighting-type Pokemon.
Sure. That's true.
You know? Yeah, I really like this. I like what they did with Alolan Ninetales. I love using Alolan Ninetales. I like the Ice Fairy combination.
Yeah, it's nice.
And then now having, you know, a faster charge attack is going to be fun.
Oh, no, for sure. I think I saw a Kanto Ninetales against my Azu. I was still running Azu after the bubble debuff. And it didn't seem too much of a difference to me, like, to be honest. But, you know, there's still people that may not run it just because they saw a debuff and they don't know the stats for it. But, yeah, I mean, like, overall, like, that I think I'm still going to be running Azure, at least. I don't know if I'm going to be running, like, Skarmory or Altaria.
Huh. Okay. What are you running currently?
I am actually running a team from a new streamer. I think he just started recently because I know that he doesn't have that many viewers. I think he's local, if I'm not mistaken. I think I might have, like, mentioned him to you, Beam Machine. I think he mentioned that he may come, talk to us, you know, if he can. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he actually made it to top 4 or top 5. He was actually number 4 either today at 2 or it was yesterday at after the update of the leaderboard, and he was in number 4, and he was using Bastiodon, Toxicroak, and Meganium. And it actually did pretty well. I was pretty scared to use it. I was, you know, going back and forth. I had a good day, then I had a bad day. And then this team is kind of like, you know, at the moment, it's even. And, you know, considering that you're not going to see that many Azus as leads anymore because of the update to the moves, it's not bad. The only thing I'm afraid of is, like, I mainly used it because, you know, you can see Flyers in the beginning as leads. And then if you're not going to see Flyers anymore, what's the point of Bastiodon? So I may have to change that. But yeah, so far I think I am in the 2,695 ELO. So I'm kind of climbing myself, like, back up. Hopefully, these 2 weeks of Great League will get me there.
Yeah.
What are you guys running?
Well, for me, for Ash, I've been, you know, switching up a bunch. I've been going from Great Lead to Ultra. But, you know, I've been running Articuno as far as the lead in Ultra. As far as also with a Mo Metal and a Giratina altered. I've been kind of changing things up this season, just trying to see, just enjoy it since the season is so long. You know, and they've added so many different variations of, you know, the different, you know, for Great League and Ultra, they put in the cups. So I'm just trying different things out this season. For Great League, I've been running Deoxys lately. I've been seeing a lot of Steel. You know, Galarian Stunfisk is one of my favorites. You know, some Azu. You know, I've been trying to try different things this season and just have fun. Still trying to get better, though. You know, right now I was at like 2350 ELO, but right now I'm at like 2100. I dropped a bit, you know, playing in the Great League and just trying different things, but still learning. Like I said earlier, you know, in the talk, you know, I've been making a lot of strides, and, you know, I'm excited with the way that I've been learning a lot. It's tough to get to the higher ranks, you know, it's a lot of understanding and things, and I'm excited for the future and what I've been learning from you guys, and, you know, with all the changes. So that's what I've been running this season so far.
Nice.
So I actually had a pretty good couple weeks. I actually started with the ELO, I think I, like, came in at, like, low 1900s and then dropped a little. Holiday Cup helped me get back up into the 1900s. But the past week since our last episode, I've gone up over 2,000. So
that's good.
I'm almost at 2,100. And it was all in Great League. Running. So I call this my bullet hole team.
Okay.
So, yes. So instead of grass hole, I'm calling it the bullet hole team. So I'm leading with Sunny Cheerum, running Bullet Seed, then Weather Ball. I think it's Weather Ball.
Yeah, weather ball, fire.
Fire, weather ball. And then, what is it?
Either have Dazzling Gleam or Solar Beam, I think it was, right?
Solar Beam.
Yes.
Okay. Then Ferrothorn with Bullet Seed.
Interesting.
Then Power... Is it Power Whip?
Yeah, Power Whip. Yeah,
Power Whip. And Thunder. And then Azu in the back with his normal, you know, Bubble, Ice Beam, and then, was it Dazzling Gleam? Play Rough.
Play Rough, yes.
And it is actually, it brought me, I think, over 2 weeks, like, almost 150 points.
Yeah, that's good. Considering you don't play so often, right?
Yeah, I don't play as often because I normally end up falling asleep during my sets. But
I would never do that.
Sometimes you get lucky, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Times where I was like, "How did I win that one?" it's actually been one of my favorite teams that I've used.
That's good. You're having fun with it.
Yeah, those Bullet Seed fast moves just charge everything so quick that even if I get into a bad matchup with Chirum, I can still build up enough energy to have at least two weather balls to swap out. So I was seeing a lot of Skarmory leads, which those weather balls will hit hard on him.
Yeah.
But it also hits really hard on his sky attack and
the air slash is at
him. Yeah, the air slash is gonna wreck Chirum. So what I ended up doing was hanging in there to build up at least enough for two weather balls, then swapping out into Ferrothorn. Because Ferrothorn can actually, because of his steel typing, can hang with Skarmory, because, you know,
it's neutral.
So with that, I'm able to build up those thunders pretty quick.
I think, what is it, five bullet seeds or six?
It's I think it's five. Okay. Maybe six for the first one, and then five. I think it's six and then five. So, you know, switching into that, and then they see that, they'll switch out. Again, like we've mentioned on other episodes, Ferrothorn is tanky. It's good in the middle. It's a nice swap. And then having Azu to just basically, if I have to burn shields to save Chirum or Ferrothorn, I just use Azu to absorb everything that, you know, whatever's getting thrown at me.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Team comp you have there.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, like, I don't think I would ever run it.
I was looking at what was getting thrown at me, and I was like, man, I want something different to go up against Skarmory than what everyone else is using. Catch people off guard. I know Chirum gets used, especially in Sylph. A lot of people use him because of that weather ball.
Exactly.
But you don't see it a lot in GBL.
Yeah, so, no, you really don't.
Yeah, so, you know, throwing that out to start, and everyone's like, you can tell.
What is,
like,
this guy thinking?
They're not sure what's about to come out because they never shield the first one. You know, you get a Skarmory and you never shield the fire weather ball. That's half your Skarmory right there. So
that's funny. When you see it, they're gonna think you're flexing on them. Like, oh my god, it's a flex right there, and they're not gonna know what to do.
It's fun. It's been fun. I'm gonna ride it out until I start losing like bad. And then maybe make a tweak here and there. But like I said, it's been fun, which is a good transition, but I don't want to go into our main topic just yet because we do have an event before we record our next podcast coming up, which is the Machop Community Day.
Yeah, which I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
Until someone told me.
So I don't really want to spend too much time on it. You know, it's your same basic things for every community day. You're going to get your shinies, which I love the shiny Machamp because it's like playing with the Hulk in Pokemon.
That's so the best one.
It's like, it's a mix of Goro from Mortal Kombat and the Hulk. Like,
exactly.
So,
it's the best of both worlds.
You get your community box. It's going to have an elite charge TM, 4 incense, 4 star piece, 30 ultra balls. That's 1,280 Poke coins. If you didn't purchase your Kanto Cup ticket or Kanto Tour ticket, they will have the special research for $1. The biggest thing besides it being Machamp is 3x catch Stardust.
Like, heck yeah,
that's the best.
My gacha is gonna be burning up during this event. No,
but that incense, freaking Stardust piece, and then put that gacha on. That's it.
Your incense will last for 3 hours. Which they need to make like the star piece equivalent
at least
make it an hour instead of 30 minutes, because you can use two incense to last pretty much the entire community day, and then you've got to use like six star piece
number.
So the other thing is he's going to get a community day move, which is Payback, which we mentioned last week, which is a dark type. I still don't really see why you would run this over, even with the debuff to Rockslide. Don't really see why you would run this over Rockslide and, let's say, Cross Chop or Dynamic Punch.
I think with the debuff, like, you know, you Rock Slide, you only really need it for Flyins, and if Flyins are not going to be so common anymore, what's the point? I mean, I guess for maybe Fire, but even then, like, let's just say you go against a Marowak, against your Shadow Machamp, you're going to have Payback, it's called Payback, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dark move, and Marowak is a ghost. So, there you go. You know, there you have something like instead of Rock Slide. And then, you know, if it's a fire Pokemon, you don't need Rock Slide. If it's just like straight up fire, then you have counter for it. And then also Cross Chop. So, it depending like what the stats are for the move, then maybe it'll have play for it. And then, for example, like if you go against a psychic Pokemon, you have dark move. So, I think it kind of, it's kind of like having Azu with Ice Beam. You know, it can counter grass Pokemons. So,
yeah, but when you're... Okay, so let's say you throw out your Machamp and you come up against Hypno. Like, you're still getting out of there. Like, you're not going to try and throw that. You're not going to try... You probably won't even make it to your Payback by the time
Hypno's... That'll be tough.
So there's
the thing shreds it.
Like a little quick strategy for whenever you have a Machamp, for example, like you said, against a Hypno, you can actually hit a counter, one fast move, hit it before it hits the confusion, and then switch out. You have one counter in with your Machamp, switch out, and then that confusion is going to hit your next Pokemon. So that's what I always do whenever I get that. So I have one counter in already with Machamp, and he never got hit. Because confusion is so slow.
Yeah,
because so
confusion that, you know, is slow.
Yeah, it's I think I don't know how many turn move it is, but it's slow, and you can hit a counter and then switch out before the computer actually gets to Machamp.
Yeah, but you're not going to sit in a battle up against a psychic Pokemon with Machamp to try and throw that payback, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I'm not. You're not, obviously, yeah, no, you wouldn't do that, especially with Machamp. But, you know, the strategy to, you know, doing something like that is, you know, kind of building energy on other Pokemon to have payback for whenever Hypno comes back.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it in Ultra, like an open Ultra, using it, like, against a Giratina or something like that.
Oh, they're going to be scared now. Imagine Shadow.
Oh, my gosh. A Shadow Machamp with payback. Yeah.
That's gonna be wild. That's gonna chunk so hard. Like, it's gonna be so fast, and the chunk is gonna be so devastating. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah. I think that'll play, you know, maybe more in Ultra. Open Ultra. I don't know. I think in Premier you're still gonna wanna have Rock Slide, and I think in Great League you're still gonna want Rock Slide too, because you're gonna see more flyers in Great League than you're gonna see, you know, in Ultra or in Master. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Put, you know, get your incense, get your Stardust, get your gotchas charged up and ready to go for 3x Stardust. That is on Saturday the 16th. Yep. Saturday the 16th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. your local time. You will have 2 hours.
I'm just excited for the Stardust.
Yeah. You'll have 2 hours after the event ends to evolve your Machops to Machamps. For, you know, like us PvP guys, that's important because we're just going to catch, we're going to catch, we're going to catch at the end of the event. I know I spend like at least 35 to 45 minutes going through everything, you know, checking the IVs, appraising them to see which one is which. That's pretty much it. It's your normal community day. It's not. This move isn't going to break the game. It's not going to break.
Oh, no.
It's not going to break Machamp. It's not, you know, if you miss it, you're missing out on your Stardust.
Yeah, that's mainly it. I think that's why everyone sees it. Like, just the Stardust.
Yeah, your Machamp will be just fine if it doesn't have payback. All right. So with that, we're going to get into our last and our main topic for the show, and that is team compositions. So like we've mentioned on every episode, yes, we're going to talk about news and we're going to give you updates and, you know, our opinions on certain things related to PvP. But really, the basis of this podcast is to help all types of players from, you know, rank 1 to rank 24, get better. Understand the game, because the more you understand the game, the more fun you have. No one likes playing a game, not knowing what they're doing, getting beat all the time, you're just going to give up. So that's where we come in, and every episode we're going to go over something that's going to help you get a little better. Very fitting with the start of the second half of Season 6. Since we're starting all back over, new moves, new updates, you need to possibly rebuild your team. So how do you build a team? So that's what we're going to go over, is a team composition. It's very different depending on where you are. If you're playing Sylph, there's metas that are developed by them. Then you have your GBL, which is an open meta unless it's a themed cup. So we're going to start with what everyone's playing right now, which is GBL, because there is no Sylph meta to talk about. And then we'll kind of just make something up and kind of see what, you know, each of us come up with and see where our weaknesses are on our teams, what we can do to change it. So for Open Great League, Dino, when you sit down at the beginning of a season and you look at your mon and you go to create your team to start, where do you start first?
I always start with the Pokemon that you want to lead. But also, I know there's people that like to... Let's just say you have a thing for... I don't know what your favorite Pokemon... Let's just say your favorite Pokemon is Machamp, since we were talking about it. You want to build a team around Machamp. And, you know, Shadow Machamp, since it's more of, has more play in Great League. Let's just say I want to have Machamp in my team. And then you kind of got to base it off the meta that you see in Great League, Open Great League. And there's a lot of Azus, a lot of Flyers that are always in the as leads. So you definitely don't want to have Shadow Machamp as lead, as least like at least for the most part, like as a like a basic layout. You don't want to have him in the lead. So I want to have him in the back. So there, a team I actually came up with in one of my accounts is I wanted to try out Shadow Hypno. So I put him in the lead with Thunder Punch and Fire Punch to have coverage versus grass and flyers and water. So then I started thinking, what is strong against Hypno? And then it would be Ghost, Dark. But we don't really honestly see that many Ghosts except for maybe Alolan Marowak. Every now and then you get your Haunter or Gengar. So then I want to make sure I have coverage for Dark Pokemons because that's what I see the most of. So that's when Machamp comes in because he beats Dark Pokemon. So then whenever, you know, that's my hard counter for Dark Pokemons. And then I start thinking I need a soft counter for Dark Pokemons in Ghost. And then I start thinking what is better than a tanky Azu, you know. So then you have, that's my soft counter for Dark Pokemon, because it also has Play Rough, which is super effective to Dark. So now you have your Psychic Hypno as a lead, and then you have the coverage. So if you know, I don't know, an Umbreon is the first Pokemon that comes out. I'm not going to switch to my hard counter, which would be Machamp, and then I would just switch to my soft counter, which would be Azu. So then I throw Azu out, and usually I don't know how it works, but most of the time they don't really have an answer whenever they get hard counter, or whenever I get hard counter. Then for some reason they always bring either like a grass Pokemon, or maybe they bring a Sableye, but in this case, you know, Azu's still good against most of the meta, so that's why I like to have him as my safe switch in. Which we talked about last episode. So I think Azu is always like a great pick if you want to have a good tanky team comp. But at least like that's how I think about it, and that's how I thought about it with my Swampert team. You know, Swampert is weak to grass, and then I had, for example, Skarmory and Alolan Marowak. You know, both of those take care of grass. So you just got to always kind of look at, you know, if you want to play, you know, a fighting Pokemon as your lead, you got to look at the weaknesses and have coverage for them. That's mainly the basics of it. Now, when you get comfortable doing that, then you can go a little bit like different and kind of go into something that's neutral towards, you know, whatever it's weak to. And then you can spice it up kind of like how I have this team that we talked about. Bastiodon is a lead, and then if you think about Bastiodon, it's weak to fighting, ground, water. So then I have Toxicroak, but you ask yourself, why would you have Toxicroak? You know, that doesn't really necessarily beat Machamp. But when you have poison in Toxicroak, it resists fighting. So it's kind of like a soft counter to it. And then I have Meganium too, which is not strong against fighting. So if you get like more advanced into it, you can like mess around like that. But the basics of it is you always want to have the at least a soft and a hard counter for whatever your lead is.
Okay. Nope, that's a good point. I never looked at soft counters as much as hard counters. I'll have to I have to start doing that. That kind of, yeah, you got me really thinking, because now, like, when I look at my teams, I'm like, wow, I just hard counter every, what I'm
so
seeing.
So the thing is, when you told me your team comp, I was a little confused, but maybe you're just thinking in a different level than I am, so.
Let's see. So, John, so you had mentioned your Ultra League team, and you actually sent us a couple of videos of some pretty sweaty battles. Pulling out wins like 1 HP, running. Well, why don't you tell us what you were running in Ultra League, and then we'll kind of ask you some questions about how you came up with your team.
Yeah, in those particular games that day, I was running Articuno, the Articuno lead. I've been seeing that a lot. I've been seeing a lot of, people post on YouTube and Twitch, streamers, that particular lead, which I do like due to the debuff. And, I was running it with one move only, which isn't the smartest thing to do, but I was kind of strapped for some dust at the moment. So, between the other leagues. And so I was only running it with Icy Wind, which is a risk, but, a lot of times you can bait if you overcharge. So I was doing that. If it's a mirror match, it can be a little bit, stressful, especially when it does come to the end, when we're both close to, being dead, and fainting, the Hurricane Monster does have the advantage because you can, finish out at the end, and it's risky if you don't want to shield it. But I was running that team, like I said, I had Mo Metal is the ground for the Flyers. He's able to, the superpower and rock slide. He has good coverage, and then I did put in a dragon there. I've been seeing a lot of Escavalier lately, so Garatina is like the best counter for it. In those particular matches, I was seeing a lot of Articuno leads, and I would win due to the fact that I have a lucky one, and my stat attack is 15. So, unless a person had 100% win, it was kind of hard for them to beat me at that sense. So, there was some times where I did run into the mirror match and I had an issue with the Hurricane with the second move and I was taken out. I did have one match where, it was Swampert against Mo Metal at the end, and I had to, count the amount of charges that my opponent had, and I had to wait for him to hit me first because I didn't want to take the debuff on the superpower, and then that would have brought me completely down. So I had to charge up two superpowers and then, barely get by with 1 HP after the mud, after his mud charge, the quick move went through. It left me with 1 HP, which was interesting, but,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm still learning the team. I think the biggest thing is understanding the damage outputs from the different monsters in that league. I like to run Mewtwo a lot as well, because he's kind of tanky. So, the biggest thing is the damage output, in my opinion, and counting taps as well. I'm still learning that. I'm trying to get better with that. I've been watching a lot of YouTubers and Twitch streamers, and they're so on point with that. They know exactly what's coming down the line and how much you got left. And to get to the legend, that's the biggest thing, in my opinion, to understand the switch outs and, what's coming at what time and what you, every tap counts, in my opinion, at that point. But I'm still learning. That's why Dino is here. He's been helping me along the way since the beginning. My first real time, being in PvP, he brought me into one of his tournaments, Sylph tournaments. So I learned a lot. And, you know, I'm still learning from him still. So, you know, I'm excited. But, yeah, those are the teams I was running so far. You know, been trying to make new monsters as well. But just dust is kind of tough right now.
Yeah. So with that being said, one of the things that you hear over and over with team compositions, like what John was saying and what or Ash and Dino, is coverages and weakness. Coverage, weakness, damage, your moves, all those things play a part in compiling your team. You can take, you know, a great Pokemon and throw it out. Like we mentioned, like I had mentioned last week, I went up against an Alolan Marowak that was running Hex with...
Was it Fire Blast?
Fire Blast and Shadow Bone Club. No, Bone Club.
Oh, Bone Club.
Like it wasn't even... It changes the match, the Pokemon completely when your moves aren't there. So it also changes your entire lineup when you run into a team where their lead can literally take out your entire squad. You know?
Yeah, it's just crazy.
And it happens. It happens to everyone. So don't get frustrated if you put together, you spend a lot of time putting together a team, you take it out, and it falls flat on its face and you go 0-5 or 1-4. Don't just throw it away. Kind of work with it, you know?
Yeah, just maybe have to tweak it a little bit, maybe.
Exactly. So the way I kind of put together my teams, so with this team, you know, my quote-unquote bullet hole, we'll see if that catches on. I doubt it, but I used Pokemon that I was comfortable with.
Okay.
When I started PvP, when I started Sylph, everyone was, you know, oh, you know, besides getting my rank up and getting Stardust and, you know, double moving, like basic things like that. One of the common things that every person I went up against gave me after a battle was trust your mon, trust your Pokemon. Know your Pokemon, know what they can take, know what they can put out, you know, how much damage they're going to take from a charge move. You know, if they're weak to something, just because they're weak to it, they could still, you know, tank a charge move. Like Azu, for instance. Azu can tank a good amount of charge moves that it's weak to. I think Sludge Bomb, even a Sludge Wave, still, depending on where it is HP, won't knock it out completely.
Right.
So, know that. You have to know. So that's, you know, when I put together my team, I knew what my Azu can take. I knew what Ferrothorn, from just using Ferrothorn in a couple Sylph Cups and tournaments and stuff like that. The Pyramid tournament me and Dino were in, like, Ferrothorn was our team's MVP. Like, he was, yeah. I think, almost in every single team composition that we made up because his typings, his resistance, and we all knew if we went up against a flyer and we threw him out there, he was going to be able to handle it. So that's kind of like what I did with that. The Cheerum was just like my spicy pick. it was actually a learning curve for that one, because I figured, you know, as soon as I went up against a flyer, like, I was done. He can actually kind of, you know, it hangs in there a little bit, not, you know, as much as Ferrothorn, but it does. And then looking at when you're picking a Pokemon, looking at its movesets and what the movesets cover. So, for instance, Dino mentioned Hypno. Hypno has a very wide range of charge moves. So it has a Fire Punch, it has a Thunder Punch, it has a Psychic charge move, plus it runs Confusion. So essentially your one Pokemon now covers your fighters, your grass, your water, your flyers, and steels. Even though your steels are resistant to your psychic, you have a charge move that is going to deal that damage. So all those things you put together, you look at those things, you know, you put a team out there, it doesn't work, don't give up, you know, keep trying it. If it doesn't, like, if you're still going, like, you run and it, you know, your entire five sets for the day and you got three wins out of it, then maybe, yeah, you know, then maybe, you know,
good,
we need
the good
to
thing
do it.
Though is that the good thing about this, though, is that we have another month and a half, I believe, of this season. So you got time. But overall, like, I feel like, you know, you shouldn't get discouraged. I don't know if Astro wants to do this, but, maybe if people feel like, you know, I really want to run, Marowak on my team, you know, what do you suggest? Like, if you guys want to let us know on Twitter, we can try to help you, build a team around it. If you really are struggling that much with it, we'd love to help you. At least, you know, I don't mind, taking the time to see what I can come up with. You know, I have a few locals that always tell me, like, yo, like, I want to build a team around this. And then I'm like, all right, let me see what I can do. Always love, helping anyone that, is trying to learn, you know, PvP.
Yeah. Yeah. We're always here. We may not give, like I said before, Dino will probably give you the best advice out of all of us, but you know, we've all got our strong suits, when it comes to certain things, with it. So, you know, hit us up on Twitter and we'll be more than glad to help you guys out. So what I want to do really quick, before we end this is, one of the things that we've mentioned about your team composition is your meta plays a role in what you're building your team on. A good source to kind of gauge what your GBL metas are is check out PvPoke, and check out the rankings for each league. It'll give you a ranking based off of usage, but also the Pokemon, you know, where it stands as far as the meta goes for an open Great League or an open Ultra or something like that. Generally with that, you can gauge what the majority of the players are going with. It doesn't waver really, at least when you get into higher rankings, it's those Pokemon probably in your top 15, 20, you're gonna see.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you get the occasional trainers like me that'll throw a Cheerum that may be lower down there, but you know, that's, you're gonna see Azu, you're gonna see Skarmory, you're gonna see Altaria, you're gonna see those things. So, you know, you can use that. PvPoke is a great tool that will tell you what wins against those, what their weaknesses are, what charge moves people are running, stuff like that. Like, when I build, like, my Sylph teams, I live on PvPoke for, like, the entire month.
Trying to get that AAA, like, squad rating?
Oh, no. That doesn't exist. I have yet to get, you know, A's across the board on my teams.
Oh, your team comp, yeah.
That's
tough.
What is it? The defense, I your forget what they call
coverage,
it.
Coverage, was it?
No. Bulk?
The bulk?
Yeah. As long as my bulk is above a C, I'm fine. Like, if I sit in a B in my bulk, then I know I'm okay. But if you're, like, C or D, then that means you may want to rethink at least something in there, because, I've done then, that.
And then, yeah, so in terms of how you were saying for people to definitely check out PvPoke, it's a great tool for just overall, like, knowledge of the charge moves, what's recommended. But something that helped me personally increase my gameplay was watching Twitch streamers. And there's so many, like, smaller streamers on there that are new, that are really good, that explain, like, everything they do and, like, how many moves, you know, to get to a charge move, and just smaller things that they just go over that help you understand them more. And, you know, there's so much that you can learn from other people, you know, as well as PvPoke.
You know what? Also, I have a good website that I use as well, the stadiumgaming.gg for the rank checker. For lucky trades, you know, a lot of times the stats vary on lucky trades and the ranks that they have in the wild. So, you know, it's a good source of information, reference point to check out if you do want to know what ranks that you are looking for each monster. And, you know, I think that's a really good one as well that I use.
I've used that as well. And that goes back to, you know, the IV things and stuff like that that we talked about in the last episode. I think that's pretty much it. You know, if you guys, like Dino said, if you have questions or anything like that about your team comps, hit us up on Twitter. We're more than welcome, you know, more than willing to help everyone out. Or if you see something from a video that we post that you know, think we can tweak or change, you know, we're open to advice just as much as we're open to give advice. We are here to make everyone better, including ourselves. And that's pretty much it for our show today. So you can follow us, like I said, on Twitter. Twitter handle is at BTWPVPpodcast. We are on all podcast streaming services, Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify. On Apple, subscribe to all of them. If you can, leave us 5-star rating, comment on there. It does help more than you guys know. And we will be putting out episodes, new episodes on Tuesdays. And, you know, that's pretty much it for today. I want to thank everyone for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm AstroZombie954.
And I'm Ash887.
And I am Dino El Magico. And until next time, good luck and good night, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.